nationwide. We bring you latest current issues, discussions and information. Nationwide on Radio Miraya.
Hello and welcome to Nationwide Discussion Hour, or the talk show, with me, Gabriel Shadar. And today I'm hosting the Minister of Peace Building in Central Equatoria State, Honorable Jacob Aligo Lolado. He also doubles as the Acting Minister of Information in the state. Welcome to the studio, Honorable Jacob Aligo.
Thank you very much, Joseph.
Welcome. Sedar. Welcome. And we will be speaking about the latest developments in the state concerning the security, humanitarian situation, and others. Honorable Jacob Aligo, before going into details, what issues is the government of Central Equatoria currently dealing with in terms of top priorities? And then we go into details. Yeah.
Thank you, Gabriel. You know, Central Equatoria State has many priorities. But top among these priorities is the issue of security stabilization. Since last year, from October, His Excellency the Governor of the State, General Agustino Jedal Kamilwani, paid visits to all the six counties of the state to acquaint himself with the security situation in those counties, issues of civil-military relations, and the issues of service delivery. And that visit gave a clear picture of what needs to be done in this state. Of course, the security of the state has been disturbed all along due to the presence of the the holdout groups, especially in some of the southern counties. And of course, those forces, the holdout groups, don't have real capacity to threaten the security of the state in terms of maybe confronting the forces. But they always target, they go for soft targets, mostly ambushing civilians who are moving on the roads, especially those doing business, the women, the young people who hustle, moving between maybe Yei and Uganda, or between Yei and the border areas of Lasu. So from time to time, you find that accidents happen where they waylay ambushes and maybe burn vehicles and loot properties of the vehicle users. And this have been happening for quite a long time. And I say it, they don't attack the army. They only go for these soft targets. And once they carry out such attacks, then they vanish into the bushes. So it's very difficult sometimes, even for the army, to confront them. Mm-hmm. Because they move very small.
Yeah, numbers. The geography also, they're making use of the geography of the area, yes. The terrain and all this. Areas which are inaccessible and they don't have permanent roads.
That's right.
And generally, people and analysts and scholars say the consequences of war are not really experienced during the war itself, but people start to experience them after the war. And the war and the peace agreement was signed like 2018, and implementation started 2020. Still, Central Equatoria seems to be reeling from serious consequences of the war, although most of the areas, but still the impact of that war in 2016, 2013 is still being experienced in central Equatoria. What is your comment?
Absolutely. This observation is correct. Because when the RXS is being negotiated in Khartoum, and when it was about to be signed, then some of the parties opted out. And General Thomas Cirillo and some other splinter groups, they opted out of the agreement and they continue with the war option. And as I said, the activities of the National Salvation Front is mostly on the western part of Central Equatoria State and the western and the southern part of Juba County. Since they've not come out, so their forces continue to disturb the peace and security of the people in those four southern counties plus Juba. And as I said, they are not really posing as a formidable force that can threaten they disturb the civil population.
Yeah, the civil population. And they disturb the livelihoods. People cannot go far away from the center of the town to cultivate and go to the farm doing business and all this. But we were hearing some calls, appeals for the sons and daughters of the area who have joined the armed groups, if they are IO or the NAS and many others, to come back. Any outcome of those appeals so far?
These appeals, yes, to a certain extent, has yielded fruits. There are groups that have come out last year, or even this year. There are groups that came out from Yei, from the National Salvation Front. And 3 months ago, also, there's a team that came out from the IO in an area called Kenyira in Mugupayam, led by a Brigadier General. So much as the response is very slow, but some of these boys are coming out maybe individually. Quite a big number have just come out. Those who remain are mostly those who are involved in committing atrocities in the area. Because, you know, the pattern of this conflict is that these youth mostly fight in their own areas.
Yeah, yeah.
And when they do wrong things, they are not doing it to strangers. They are doing it to people who know them and who they know. And therefore, it is known that the son of so-and-so has committed an atrocity or killed so-and-so or looted from so-and-so. So because of this...
Is amnesty tricky in that case?
Actually, they have been appealed recently in October when our governor visited, for example, the southern counties, Yei, Lanya, Morobo, Kajukeji and Onduruba Administrative Payam. He called upon these howl-out groups to come out because in 2017, His Excellency the President issued an amnesty, and this amnesty is still holding. And an appeal has been made to them to make use of this amnesty so that they come out and get forgiven, because they are not the first people who have picked up arms in the government, fight. Even those who have killed, committed serious crimes.
Yeah.
But today, some are in Juba. They are holding positions.
Yeah. This is because they shouldn't be made exceptional
that
case.
For sure.
And up to today, you have been holding security meetings. And, of course, not everything in a security meeting is for the public consumption, but what can you share from your latest security meeting in Central Equatoria?
Of course, during our security meetings, we normally get updates of the security situation in the entire state. Yesterday, we were in Lokiliri, Payam, and we held a security meeting in Nisitu. The security committee has of late decided that these meetings should not be just in the state secretariat. We can also move to other areas so that we can acquaint ourselves as members of the security committee with the security situation there. So far, Lokiliri is a bit unique from the reports that we get yesterday. And actually, we found that before we arrived, we found that the Payam administration were on the way. They are launching clearings of 53 kilometer length of roads in an area that has been demarcated for settlement and investment in the area. And they have not reported serious security issues except for armed robberies. You know, those areas is an area, it's a trunk road, the road leading to Nimule and the road leading to Torit, and normally there's a heavy traffic,
mm-hmm.
and so armed people normally come and ambush the vehicles to just rob the drivers,
mm-hmm.
and that's the only serious thing that was reported in that particular area. And there's also the issue of children. Child abduction, the area. Lokiri Payam is one of the areas in central Equatoria that has really suffered the issue.
Is it continuing?
For some time now, it has, at least it has never been reported, but a number of children have been abducted.
And they are still missing.
They are missing. But I think the previous administrators of FIBOR, I think there are some children that they return.
Mm-hmm.
I remember two or three occasions in which children have been...
And what have you concluded from this meeting in Lokiliri, in Lesotho?
Well, in Lesotho also, there's one serious thing that came up, is the issue that is of health-related threat, where there are clinics in Juba, medical facilities that are causing... danger to our citizens. There was one police officer or an officer who was reported. He went to one of the clinics for malaria treatment and he lost his life. But these cases are many in Juba now. You go for malaria or typhoid treatment, then one loses his life. People suffer organ failures and all this. And so it was resolved yesterday that the authorities of Juba City Council and the Juba County, in collaboration with the State Ministry of Health, to carry out a campaign and to inspect these clinics. Mostly it was manned by foreigners. They don't have real medical personnel who are supposed to be professional and to give proper treatment to the people. And this is one of the things that was resolved. And we also have a problem. There's a brewing security issue in Nyamini. Nyamini is an area that's been contested over by 5 Payams of Juba. Ndolo, Rajav, Luri, Juba, Lado, Payam, and then Tejor. All these 5 Payams and communities rivaling over that area, and the area is being demarcated.
Okay.
And this one is saying the area is ours, so it's a big issue. And yesterday it was resolved in that security committee meeting that all activities of demarcation, land demarcation in that area has to stop forthwith. And I'm sure the Commission of Juba County might have issued a local order to suspend any activities in that area so that the state will take measures to bring these communities together to state their cases one by one so that the rightful owner of that land is established.
How big is that land approximately?
Well,
is it a strip or a huge chunk of land?
It's a huge chunk of land. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And who started this demarcation exercise? Who was doing it? One of the payams or the county authorities?
It is one of the payams because, you know, this thing is done by communities, actually. Yes. Uh-huh. It is not even the payam.
Yeah.
As a leadership of the government.
Yeah.
But in communities, you know, this issue.
So the community from which area started, initiated something?
I'm not sure, but what I know is that this case is actually old.
Mm.
First, it was between Juba, I don't know, Rajaf, it seems Rajaf, and Ndolo.
Okay.
Yeah.
Part of the
Keka. No.
Yeah.
It's part of Juba. Okay. Juba County, but the payam is called Ndolo.
Okay, Ndolo, okay.
Yes,
okay.
It's a young
I mix with Tindolo.
Yeah. But then there's another area called Tijor, which during the 32 states, it was taken to Terekeka.
Oh.
But after reverting to 10 states, it also came back to Juba. So they're also having. Then the northern Ladu payam is... I don't know the geography because in between there's this Luri.
Yes.
So I don't know how. Again, they have land there. It is very a bit confusing.
Yeah.
But
the thing now is halted until the further.
According to the security committee yesterday, it was resolved that this activity had to stop because it's posing a threat. Maybe the community will clash over it.
Okay, yeah. Okay. That is better, and we hope that a solution will be found. Listeners to Radio Maria, this is me, Gabriel Shadan, and this is Nationwide Talk Show, and I have with me in the studio today the Minister of Peace Building in Central Equatoria State, who also doubles as the Minister of Information, Acting Minister of Information, of course, Honorable Jacob Oligo Loladu. The Central Equatoria State encountered these multiple security issues, as you said. What is the situation at the moment when we speak about Yei, Lanya, Morobo, and all these? What is the latest?
Thank you. The latest is actually since April. After the outbreak of the conflict in Nasir and the Ulang counties, you know that there's a backlash in here in Juba. And then of late last month, the situation also reached up to Morobo, where there's a fighting in an area called Panyume between the government forces and the IOs. So since then, Morobo is facing serious challenges. Like last week, there was a problem in the border with Uganda where I understand some Ugandans were involved in a charcoal business inside South Sudan, were mishandled by the IO forces that are scattered in the bushes. So out of maybe anger, the South Sudanese who took refuge in the Ugandan side of the border but near to the South Sudanese border, they went and removed these people forcefully and took them to an area called Keri with an intention of taking them to the camps. I talked to the commissioner of Morobo County who reported that most of those who were taken by the Ugandan authorities managed to return. And he said about 4,500 people, he called them households, but I'm not sure, who returned, and they have taken return, and they were in Kaya. They are in a place called Yondu. There's in Busia, and then the other bigger population came to Morobo headquarters. this is the latest in Morobo.
In Morobo.
But also he reported that the IO who were dislodged in Panyume are in the bushes. They are continuing to carry out activities of looting. Even the humanitarian intervention that was made by the SA government and ISRC, the food given to the people is being looted out from the civilians who receive it and go return back to their houses in the villages. Yeah.
Yeah. You said like 4,000 something returning to Morobo?
Yes.
Okay. In the backlash of that arrest and all
this? Yes, yes. They are not ready to go to the camps.
Mm-hmm. Because it's better to come back home.
Yes, they decided to come back home. And other circular, according to the commissioner, instead of going to those areas that he mentioned, the Yondu, Morobo headquarters, Kaya, or Busia, they just enter their villages back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. And they're ready to maybe to face this.
Okay,
situation.
Now let's look at anything happening in Lanya, Yei, Kajukeye?
Yei has not reported any issue. By then, there was abduction of 10 people who have been released. They are released. They are abducted by the whatever reason, but they are released.
Mm-hmm.
The same thing happened also in the western part of Morobo. By then, 8 people were abducted, but also released. In Lanya, it was on the 25th of last month, where there was also an incident in an area called Koyoki and Ibrigo, where there was a fight between the SSPDF and the IO forces. The IO and forces were dislodged from those areas, and now they are under the SSPDF. But that incident also forced the civil population
to run away,
and they are in the border around Kaya River on the side of the Uganda. But according to the commissioner, he reached out to them, and they have expressed interest to come back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Let's go to the second part here. It is the flooding. Central Equatoria witnessed flooding, and some of the counties really suffered. People were displaced, and now we are entering a new year. And there are reports by the forecast authorities and meteorology that we are expecting more rains, and that means flooding. So, what's likely happening with you?
Yeah, last year there were these serious cases of flooding, especially around Mangala and the islands and parts of Terkeka and Juba County, where several people were displaced. And there was a task force to manage these disasters. It was put in place and chaired by the deputy governor. And I'm sure, and a number of ministers, and I'm sure this committee is still on, and they are ensuring that there is early warning. They are monitoring the situation to ensure that the population is not taken by surprise. Yeah. So
good.
The committee is there.
Good. Concerning the economy and finance, Central Equatoria is one of the biggest in terms of economy. A lot of the money is being spent here. And that means you must have the biggest budget in among all the 10 states. And, of course, that brings us an interest that where are you now with the implementation of your budget? We are approaching the end of the budget cycle.
Yeah, of course, we are following the national calendar, where the financial year begins on the 1st of July every year and ends up on the 30th of June of the preceding year. So, yes, the budget is coming to an end by 30th of June of this month, but already the Minister of Finance have prepared the new budget, which is waiting to be tabled before the cabinet for approval, before it is referred to the assembly for deliberation and final approval.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and our parliament at the moment, or the assembly, is a recess, and I'm sure sooner it will open.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
we will see. Do you have audit reports for Central Equatoria?
So far, Yes, these audits happen, but mostly this internal auditing.
Mm-hmm, internal auditing.
Yeah.
Not over the public.
No.
To see how much you have spent or how much income you have made. Now, another engine matter came out with the concerning the collection of taxes, whatever, by the Revenue Authority. And we have Revenue Authority coming out openly that Central Equatoria doesn't have jurisdiction to collect, I don't know, some of the taxes or all the taxes. I'm not sure of that. But what is your response so far?
Yeah, thank you. We are levels of government. We are one government. We are saving
we are
saving the same people. We have constitutional competencies. In terms of revenue, we have Article 177 of the transitional constitution of South Sudan gives what type of taxes the national government collects. And Article 179 also provides for the taxes that are collected by the state. Then when you go to the Schedule A gives the national government exclusive powers, both political and in terms of revenue.
Yeah.
And Schedule B gives the state also its own competencies. But from time to time, there have been some collusions and misunderstanding between the levels of the government, and they may be driven by individuals who may not either understand what they are doing and then cross to the competence or encroach into the competence of one level of the government. This is always the problem that Central Equatoria is facing. And being in the center, being in the center together with this institution, always there's this collusion. But as a government of the state, we feel that we don't want to be discussing these matters in the public or through the social media or the media generally, because it doesn't give a good picture. So even this morning, the government of Central Equatoria State, headed by the deputy governor and some of the ministers of the economic sector or cluster, they were in a meeting with the leadership of the National Revenue Authority to sort out these issues. So to us, dialogue is the best channel of addressing these small misunderstandings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you hope that there will be a solution to this?
Well, if each one of us understand our competencies, because it is very clear, then there will be a solution. But unless one side stubbornly decide not to understand, maybe that's where there will be a problem. But if you can understand that this is our limit, this is where our competence starts and where it ends, I don't think there will be a problem.
You might not have a problem. Even the Revenue Authority might not have a problem. But who pays for this kind of thing is the citizen and the trader. Who will see someone from Central Equatoria against someone from Revenue Authority, someone from here? They are all want their taxes.
Yes, because these taxes are not the same. The taxes are different. So when a national institution levies a tax that is supposed to be collected by that level, and the state has also another different taxes, so the tax are not the same,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
They are not the same.
Mm-hmm.
For example, stamp duty. Stamp duty is a competence of the state. So the national government or national revenue authorities are not supposed to come and collect tax from stamp duty. And also, for example, the issue of PTA, PIT.
Yeah.
And this one is made even very clear in Article 177 that the state collects PIT on certain personnel who are working in the state. It's very, very clear.
Yeah, good. I hope the traders will see good news of collaboration and understanding, and they will not really suffer multiple taxations, which are arbitrary sometimes, and that thing is streamed out. Now it's time to engage the listeners. If you want to call us, you can dial 09-1206-7879 and 09-1206-7929 and 09-1206-8101, and you can call us and we will get you involved on the in the program. Here is one of the callers online. Hello? Hello?
Good evening, Gabriel Joseph Chada.
Good evening. Who's calling?
Jacob Dior from Rumbek.
Jacob, welcome.
Thank you. I'm happy with the Minister for Information.
Thank you.
He has celebrated everything, and I am a keen listener for whatever happens in the country.
Thank you.
You have asked all the corners, and there is one area that I would like to put in. You know, as he is a spokesperson, he is more than Michael McQuay, because he is hosting McQuay in his state. So he does a lot. Mm-hmm. And we always hope he will search and give us the accurate information. Now, as a rainy season has come, and many areas in central Equatoria like Yei, Lanya, are already cultivating and their crops are high, one of the areas of conflict and can be an insecurity is the conflict between the herders and the farmers. What has he put in place as a guy who goes in the community to make sure the past will never be repeated, so that the herders are told, be in this place, and don't tamper with the crops, because the farmers cannot move. They are the headers that move.
Okay.
So how has this been put in place so that never we hear anything again?
Good question there, Jacob Dior from Lakes Estate. And, of course, the numbers again that you can call us 09-1206-7879 and 09-1206-7929, and I will be picking your calls. Hello? Yes, marhaba, welcome. Sotak bayit shadid, and I don't know how you are calling. Yes, come again. From Libya, Sug Libya, welcome.
thank you so much. I have one question for you again. My question goes like this. Confirming the IGO is that in Morobu County, specifically by the government office, I guess so. My question to him, I've been a resident of Yei and I've been moving with my brother from Yei to that side of Uganda through Busia. When we were moving, those people were in their confinement areas. There was no fighting. People were paying 15. When we go with our motorcycle, they take us. We don't have anything. We say they are 1,000 and we go. Now that these people have been displaced, my brother should try to move on that area and no longer access the area. So what could have they done, or what mechanism have they put as the government to make sure that those IOs who are displaced in the bushes, that they cannot find, will be able to put down their guns and leave our people to move freely? Because I am not happy because our people are unable to access those areas. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I've tried my best, and I understood that the fighting on dislodging the IO, the result in the IO being scattered in the bush, and in the past, they were in the cantonment, and they did not harm the people much. Now they are in the bush there, and that is posing a risk to the citizens. So what are you doing about that? Let me give the phone numbers again, 09-1206-7879 and 09-1206-7929. Hello?
Yes, Gabriel Shadar, good evening.
Good evening, welcome.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, this is Tango Juliet.
Welcome, Tango.
Okay, I have only two questions. The first question is that who's in charge of the security in central Equatoria? Because most of the time we find the security or the police on the road and they are not from central Equatoria. Is it the national government or the central Equatoria? That's one thing. Number two, when it comes to developments, who the credit will go to it, the national government or the central Equatorial government, because okay. we don't know now which who. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. These are interesting questions. Let me pick another one. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, welcome.
Gabriel Jesus Shadar.
Welcome.
James Ndiyam in Tonsaf County.
Welcome, James.
Tahiya tiba mchile duwel si sirio, tahiya tiba mchile. Ana ili sawal kida, taba nal zaman dika zirabi ka garaf, alina ka zamanayo katir barmara tiga Kotoria, wasen Kotoria au Kotoria, barmara ri anaz bita albugar, bisiba albugar, bamsi mal zira, uman biyar fi, mahal akil bita albugar, defi barao, akil bita albugar fi, uka akil bita insan fi, le naz dor bishunun, naz da murad, taba naz murada ya bisaba almishkila, man momotanin bita albugar, dor shunun, le naz nishan wakifuman, gabil naz ma kata bizratek.
Naam, shukran. Shukran, James Sambiam in Tonj. I think some of our listeners are really become very aware of what happens in the Central Equatoria, which is the capital, and they're asking interesting questions. We come back to you, Honorable Jacob Aligo.
Yeah. Thank you.
First, let me open the mic. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Let me first respond to Jacob Dor from Rumbek. I think he's basically asking about the issue of the conflict between cattle herders and farmers.
What's happening this year?
Yeah. Well, this year, the issue of the cattle is there. In March, we were in Yei and Lanya. We started with Lanya. There's a committee that the governor formed to implement the order of the president that was issued since 2017 to relocate all cattle from Equatorial region. And therefore, we went to Lanya and we interacted with the dialogue with these people because they are armed to the teeth. And if they are not handled with care, they can cause serious problems. So we managed to talk to them and warn them to leave because the next time we will be coming in a different form. And I think they heeded to that warning. And before I came here, of course, I have to call the commissioners of Morobu, Yei, and Lanya, even Kajukeji, to update me about some of these issues, including the security situation. And so far, the cattle herders are out of this area, but now they are in Juba County. The areas of Ganji and parts of Rajaf and parts of the Yangbara area, they are all infested with this cattle. And I think the committee will soon move again to those areas to engage them and to ask them to leave. Mm-hmm. The issue of the cattle herders, especially carrying guns, is the biggest problem, the biggest threat. And Joseph Sader, it is very disturbing that right now the government is no longer having the monopoly of violence. The civil population, the arms in the hands of the civil population, if they are not removed, realizing stability in this country will be very, very difficult. The challenge from the civil population who are holding guns is actually reach a level of national security threat.
Yeah.
And it has to be addressed with the seriousness that it deserves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who is in charge of security in Central Equatoria?
this is a very tricky, tricky question. In Central Equatoria, for example, in Juba, we have three levels of government. We have the local government in Juba, that is the Juba City Council, and around the city is Juba County, part of which already become a part of Juba City.
Yes.
Then we have the state and we have the national. There's a serious overlap of security management here, a very serious one. And for example, let us take the issue of, for example, the traffic police. The police, by law, by the constitution, it's a decentralized service. The police, the prisons, the wildlife, the civil defense force. These are all prescribed constitutionally as decentralized services, in which the men that are supposed to be responsible of the security will be local. And maybe the high-ranking officers can be from anywhere. Mm. But this is not the situation currently in Central Equatoria. It is not the case.
Especially in the capital, the other counties is fine.
Yes,
but
in the capital.
Yeah.
In the capital, you can see, for example, the traffic police. Those traffic police, when they are asked, they say, well, they are for Central Equatoria, but they are not answerable to Central Equatoria, nor were they deployed by Central Equatoria.
It's serious.
It's very, very serious.
Yeah. Are you speaking about this? Are you discussing this?
Yeah, there's engagement, but you know, Joseph Sadar, between me and you, you know how things happen around now in our country. So there are people who actually behave as if they are above the law. This is our biggest problem.
Yeah, yeah.
And it makes the management of the security a bit very tricky. So if you can see the traffic, the citizens are suffering because what they are doing, basically, they are concentrating on two or three things. They only check the logbook, whether it is expired or not, and the driving license. And sometimes they'll ask you whether you have fire extinguisher, which is not actually the responsibility of traffic police, because this is the work of the civil defense service. But there are a lot of traffic offenses that actually need to be checked. They don't care about them.
Yeah.
You can see sometimes
This over-speeding,
even we are forced to drive like we are in East Africa.
Yeah.
You see somebody, instead of driving fast from the left, you're supposed to drive faster.
They fast from the right.
But now you'll be forced to overtake from
the right.
From the right, and when you cause an accident, you are charged.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
And it is very serious. Issues of, for example, insurance. Where the vehicles are insured or not. Sometimes you'll find a vehicle that is for this public use, the matter, the Haisat Del. You'll find Lisa, if you garage Makalasu, you'll see the paint is actually removed, panel beaten out, but you'll see they'll come to the road. No indicators, no nothing.
Yeah.
No. They don't talk about this one. These people, especially the water tankers, which are mostly foreigners, they actually rule the road. They are very rude. And most of our people were killed by these tanker drivers. Yeah. And they drive the speed they want, sticking to the left. You will hoot them, they'll not leave for you the road.
Yeah.
And nobody checks them.
Yeah.
But only the border boys, those with the rickshaw, are the people who are facing a lot of problems. For these people, just for the traffic, they open their hands, we part either they midu hajat, get more room.
Yeah.
You know.
It's quite challenging, but we have come to the end of our time on the Nationwide, and I give you 1 minute and a half to say your concluding message from today. Yes.
Thank you. On behalf of the government of Central Equatoria State, I register our gratitude for this opportunity to come and enlighten the public about what is going on in our state. The issues that we discuss here, some of them are very unfortunate. The fighting that has flared up of late, that has again tempered with the gains, the security gains that have been achieved. Now it's being reversed. So I appeal for dialogue. As people of South Sudan, this country is full of us. And when we are in peace, we'll tend to gain more than when we are in conflict. So whatsoever the difference among us, we need to come to the negotiating table, see where we've gone wrong, and accept to forgive each other, and then take the path of peace, and so that our people will also enjoy the dividends of being a free country, an independent country. So this is my appeal, and there should be understanding about the levels of government. This is very, very important, especially in Central Equatoria, we are suffering too much, to an extent that we are overburdened, to an extent we are not even deliver services to our people because we attend to a lot of emergencies. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Jacob Aligo Lolado, Minister of Peace Building and also spokesperson of the Ministry of State as acting. Thank you very much for being on Nationwide.
You're welcome.